Heart, written by Synergenic, read by Opalsong. Part 1 of The Essentials. Warning for cannibalism.
I wanted to help you escape from the day. Couldn't speak to you. It might harm my racer's heart. I couldn't speak to you. For what could I say? These words seem obscene now. To the racer's heart. Well, the words are coming, all the words are coming. By day they are far too stark. Well, the words mean nothing till they turn to fire. By who we become after dark.
Armin can be kind. People always tend to make the mistake of assuming that makes him nice. Armin makes a point to be kind, to keep his voice soft and eyes wide, to keep himself gentle and helpful and trustworthy. Armin can be very kind, but Armin has never been nice, he doesn't think. He can't help but feel the distinction clanging dissonantly in his chest as he sprints down the last living member of his squad, blade already in hand, Aaron's sloppy chewing noises behind him. See, if Armin was who most think he is, he would be back at Aaron's side, trying to counsel him out of whatever breakdown he's having and building up Aaron's saving case for court in his head. But Armin knows there is no way to explain this without it ending in Aaron's execution. No convenient subplot to rise up and smooth over the edges of this disaster. Better for it to go away entirely. Armin can be kind, and if he were nice, his greatest loyalty would be to the Scouting Legion and humanity. But he is not, and his greatest loyalty lies with his greatest loves. He's gaining on the man. Joden? Jarek? Close enough to hear his desperately fearful mutters, and Armin heaves in a breath through his belly, pushing himself faster. There is a slight incline in the ground beneath his feet, and Armin bends his knees, jumping down the hill with his blade held high. The blade reaches Joden's back first, piercing flesh easily and ramming itself deep into the man's ribcage, when Armin's body slams into his, pushing them both to the ground. Joden's mutters rise to a screech, and his eyes roll back to meet Armin's, betrayal making the hazel of them brighter. Armin meets those eyes, grips the hilt of his blade in both hands, and puts the strength of his shoulders into one good push down. Earlier this morning, at breakfast, Joden had offered Armin some of his portion. You pubescent fucks need more food than they're giving you anyway. And Armin had taken it with a smile, before they'd had a meandering, hours-long conversation that lasted until Aaron ripped their squad leader's throat out with his teeth. Armin swallows, and pretends he doesn't taste grief as he does. Once he's sure Joden's dead, Armin sniffs, drawing his sleeve under his nose as he shifts his weight and swings his leg off Joden's corpse. Fuck, the corpses. He was going to have to do something about them, before he finds their horses, comes up with their tragic story, and they make their way back to the walls. It wouldn't do for another squad to see the bodies, not when it's obvious none of them were Titan victims. Armin bites his lip, the first buzz of anxiety beginning to hum beneath his skin. Then he hears a low growl and freezes, turning his head to meet Aaron's eyes. Aaron, whose hair is longer, mouth wider, and teeth sharper than they should be, his limbs elongated strangely and a maddened animal desperation in his gaze. There is blood streaming from his mouth, down his neck and chest, and gore under his fingernails, up his forearms, between his teeth. There is no recognition when he looks at Armin, and Armin swallows dryly, wonders if this is how he's going to die. Being killed by his best friend, no matter how impaired Aaron is, was never something Armin thought would happen. Not even when he saw Aaron's full Titan form and knew him for who he was, but he's ambivalent to the idea now. Better than being killed by a Titan, he supposes. Aaron, Armin sighs, and then the low, continuous growl is cut off as Aaron tips his head to the side, digging his fingers into the dirt beneath him and shuffling closer. When he is inches from Armin's face, hunched over like an animal and balancing on his palms and the balls of his feet, Aaron opens his mouth and roars, giving Armin a glimpse of just how much gore is stuck between Aaron's teeth. He is not a thorough chewer, not even when he's fully human, and Armin doesn't flinch as fleshy speckles of his squad members dot his face. Aaron's breath smells hot and meaty. The sickly sweet undertone of rot it have in his full Titan form is missing. Armin is not sure whether that's a positive sign or not. Aaron, he tries again, and Aaron whines, digging his fingers into his stomach and tearing deep gouges through the skin, before he knocks Armin to the ground and plunges his fingers into the soft flesh of Jodin's side, dragging the body closer and widening his mouth horrifyingly to take a bite from the man's neck. There is a snarl Armin might call pleased from Aaron as he flips the corpse around and rips into the belly, shoving his face into the chasm of flesh and biting down. It's a wet, slurping, messy meal, Aaron bracing his feet in Jodin's eviscerated abdomen to pull his ribs apart, eating at the meat cushioned between the bones and at the lungs. He paws at the flesh to tear it, rending it between nails that seem too sharp. He eats around the heart, tearing strips of meat off of Jodin's limbs and stuffing them into his mouth with an eerily gleeful smile. The gouges in his stomach heal slowly as Armin watches Aaron's abdomen expand. It's horrifying, and Armin's sight drifts numbly from where Aaron is hunched over the corpse to the two bodies ahead of them, the horses grazing calmly near the twisted jumbles of bone and ligament and torn meat. They can't even be called bodies anymore. This makes a giggle burble up in Armin's throat, and he bites his lip till bloodied, wrapping his arms around himself. He shouldn't laugh, shouldn't draw attention to himself. If Aaron killed him, Aaron would kill himself, and that just can't happen. But Armin can't stop the hysterical bursts of noise from escaping between his teeth when he thinks of how Corporal Levi had only just begun trusting Aaron's control enough to let him work with other squads. Levi thought people would be safe with Aaron. Armin thought people would be safe with Aaron. That's the thought that pushes him over the edge, makes his thin control snap and frenetic laughter pour from his belly onto the ground like bile, holding onto his sides as he shakes. Aaron makes a thorny, disgruntled noise, and Armin laughs harder as he thinks that this is it. He's going to die, and it's going to be Aaron that kills him, and Armin can't stop laughing for long enough to do anything about it. A scalding hand with two long fingers grips his jaw tightly. Armin hiccups in a breath and realizes distantly that his vision is blurry. He's crying, too. Always the fucking crybaby. Aaron forces Armin's face to look up at his, tightening his grip further when Armin tried to stop it. He didn't want to look at Aaron's inhuman face before he died. Armin's neck is fully bent back now as he looks up at Aaron, and Aaron's eyes are bright, feverish, feral. He tilts his head again as he looks at Armin, pulling his top lip back to show the front row of his teeth as he does. sliding his tongue over the slimy, blood-coated surface of them. Armin isn't prepared for when Aaron leans his face closer and licks a stripe over Armin's cheek. Freezing, Armin's breath jutters heavy as Aaron moves to his other cheek, carefully, almost tenderly, licking away the tears. Aaron leans back, flicks his tongue over his lips, and looks pleased with himself, before tapping his forehead against Armin's, his other hand rising to his mouth, and Armin whimpers when he sees Jodin's heart clasped in Aaron's fingers, raggedly torn arteries still leaking blood. Nipping at his chin, Aaron snarls in that almost pleased way before he pinches some meat delicately between his teeth, jerking his jaw to sever it from the rest. Then he jams his mouth onto Armin's, and Armin chokes as he tries to reel back, realizing what Aaron wants him to do. N-oomph! Armin's word is cut off as Aaron works a thumb between his jaws, putting enough pressure on his lower jaw that it aches, and thrusting his tongue and the piece of Jodin's heart into Armin's mouth and keeping it there. The elongated muscle almost presses on the back of Armin's throat, curling around the piece of meat and pressing it down onto Armin's tongue. He only draws back when he feels Armin start to chew. Armin shakes as he forces his jaw up and down, feeling the thick, fibrous muscle grind into coppery paste between his molars, blood sliding from the flesh because of the pressure and pooling under Armin's tongue. It takes 3 tries for him to swallow the sticky mass without a dry heave stopping him, and when he finishes, he opens his eyes again. Funny, he can't remember closing them, and sees Aaron already biting off another piece. Armin groans, tries to shuffle away, and stops when Aaron's hand squeezes, that inhuman anger flaring in Aaron's eyes. Aaron snarls, flesh held between his teeth, before he bends his back, spine overly pronounced even through his partway torn shirt, and butts his head against Armin's stomach, snarling louder. Uncurling, Aaron presses his mouth to Armin's, and before he can choke Armin with his tongue, Armin fits his teeth around the shred of heart, drawing it into his mouth. Aaron purrs. Armin chews. Armin swallows. The taste is easier the second time around. They continue this pattern until the heart is gone, Aaron's mood growing steadily better throughout. By the time Aaron splays his red-slicked palm in front of Armin and encourages Armin to lick the blood away with slight pressure of his other hand, he's almost playful, burbling with noise that doesn't sound aggressive, angry. He tucks his face into the crook of Armin's neck, licks a stripe there, leans back to watch him with unnerving satisfaction on his halfway tightened features. He nips Armin's nose. Armin has started crying again, but he's brave enough now to push Aaron away with a firm no when Aaron chirrups, sticking his tongue out. Aaron relents, and Armin gasps, scrubbing his hands over his face, and tries to keep from hyperventilating. Mikasa used to have panic attacks. They don't talk about it a lot, it being the kind of thing that kept to the hours between midnight and 3. But she said later that deep breaths in through her nose and out through her mouth helped her get the air she thought she couldn't. Armin clasps his hand over his mouth and forces it shut, breathes deeply just through his nose instead, because if he opened his mouth, he'd start screaming. He stays there, hunched in on himself for what feels like hours, until his heartbeat and the ringing in his ears aren't the only things he can hear. Then, even more carefully, he raises his head again. It's to see that Aaron has wandered back to the other bodies. The horses, oddly enough, are unbothered by his presence, picking off the last of the meat with clever fingers before eating it. Armin grits his teeth, ignores how his stomach roils hatefully, and forces himself to his feet. Aaron? He calls, voice cracking, and he's not sure if Aaron is responding to his name or just the sound of Armin's voice, but he twists around wickedly fast, locking eyes onto Armin's figure as his lips are licking the last few shreds of his squad members into his mouth. Armin clears his throat, and when next he speaks, his voice is clearer. Bring the bodies here. Aaron growls confusedly. Armin points at the bodies. Bring them here. He points at his feet. This seems to make Aaron happy, that Armin should want the bodies, and he gathers them up in his lengthened arms with puppy-like enthusiasm, loping over to Armin and dumping the sticky heap of human remains at his feet. Tilting his chin down, he chirrups at Armin, and Armin recognizes that pitch. It's the pitch that Aaron uses when he wants to be praised but doesn't want to admit it. Armin feels sickened, but he reaches up on his tiptoes to touch his hand to Aaron's hair. You did a good job, Aaron. His voice is so tired. Aaron yelps, sort of, turning his head and chewing lightly on Armin's wrist, gentle enough that there are no marks on Armin's skin when he's done. Sighing, Armin drops to the ground again, beginning to dig with his hands. He supposes it's convenient that Aaron has gnawed them all down to bone and tendon and cartilage. Smaller hole, less digging, less time. But every time Armin glances at the pile that's slowly going putrid in the sunlight, his stomach tries to rebel against him, always aware of what fills it. Armin pushes his thoughts away. He will not think about what he holds in his gut. Aaron makes a series of confused, distressed garbles before he throws himself down beside Armin, shunting him to the side. He rips into the earth like he ripped Elise's back open. The movement's broad and brutal, and soon enough, Armin is patting Aaron on the side and telling him that he can stop. Reaching for the remains, his hands freeze without his permission. Cold, sour sweat breaking out along his skin and his stomach snarling its displeasure. Fuck, he thinks, his breath going high and whistling. Just touch them. Just grab them and put them in the fucking hole. Just do it. Just... His breath tears through his chest in a sob, and Armin swallows back the vomit that rose into his mouth with an uncontrolled heave as he curls his fingers around the gummy, slimy bones, dropping them into the hole as quickly as possible. A glance over his shoulder tells him that Aaron is currently involved in a staring contest with one of the horses, swaying rhythmically from side to side, fingers twitching and clasping themselves around his thighs occasionally. Armin shudders after he's done filling in the hole and patting down the dirt, rubbing his hands over the grass again and again, with the sinking feeling that he will never be able to scour the feeling of cold stickiness from his palms. He gives himself 5 minutes to break down, to cry and scream into his closed mouth, tug at his hair, slam his fists into the ground, and hate Aaron, just a little bit, for making Armin a willing monster. He doesn't have the excuse of being a Titan shifter. When he's done, he takes a few careful, quiet breaths, waits until his heartbeat doesn't match a rabbit's. Then he wipes his face, finger combing his hair, and rising to his feet. About 10 paces from the horses, Armin jumps when Aaron's attention abruptly refocuses from his equine friend to Armin, his overly wide mouth opening in its entirety, as he releases a rough, roiling noise. Pausing, he waits until it's obvious Aaron isn't going to turn on him now, before he approaches the horse closest to Aaron, grasping its bridle and kicking the other horse in the side, spurning it into a panicked run. A lethal Titan attack will be easier believed if they only have one horse. There's a river in their eyesight, and though most of the time the Scouting Legion avoids running water outside the walls, Titans sometimes seem mesmerized by the stuff, and better too cautious than dead. Armin leads the horse there, grabbing at Aaron's wrist when it seems like he doesn't realize he should follow Armin. At the river's edge, he stops the horse and turns to Aaron, and despairs slightly. His clothes are torn from how his limbs changed, and how his abdomen warped, leaving him an 8-foot cadaverous figure covered in a coat of gore. His clothes do not actually tear because of Titan transformations, and Armin bites his lip, mind spinning out a lie to cover for this indiscrepancy. Aaron, come into the water, Armin says, stepping into the water himself and holding his hands out invitingly. They tremble. Armin clenches his jaw and stiffens his muscles until they stop. He won't let Aaron think Armin's afraid of him. Aaron makes a confused, burbling noise, and Armin smiles encouragingly. It feels false and brittle. It's okay. Come on. Come into the water. It takes a few more minutes of coaxing. The horse eventually dips its head into the water to drink in the meantime. The birds in the forest nearby chitter loudly, before Aaron steps cautiously into the blue, snapping his jaw a few times at the feel of it. Come where I am, Armin urges, splashing the water around himself. He is waist deep, and when Aaron walks to him, the water level is just barely at his mid-thigh. Armin grabs Aaron's hands and dunks them into the water, rubbing the blood away and picking the flesh out from under his nails, splashing the water up his arms and scrubbing away as much of the blood as he can from the fabric. Glad that dirt is so encrusted to the shirt that it'll be easy enough to pass the rusty stains off as mud. Aaron watches him do this with fascination, wiggling his fingers every so often. Crouch, Armin orders, more comfortable in Aaron's presence now. Aaron does nothing. Stares at Armin, and Armin sees his understanding of the situation drain away. Shaking his head, Armin demonstrates. Like this. The water swirls up to his chin. Bending his legs, Aaron crouches as well, the water reaching his ribcage. Washing his mouth and neck is harder, because the skin there is hotter, baking the gore onto Aaron so well that Armin has to pick solidified chunks of it off. Rubbing his hands up and down Aaron's chest, Armin tries not to think about how he would have wanted to do this when Aaron was human, in a different situation. His touch is giving Aaron pleasure rather than getting him clean. Better not to think about that at all. Ever. Sniffing, Armin puts his fingers inside Aaron's lips, poking at the solid wall of teeth until Aaron opens his mouth. Wide, wider, till it almost looks like his head will separate by halves. It takes much longer to pick all the meat out of Aaron's teeth than it did to pick it out from under his fingernails, Aaron making discontented noises all the while. Armin wonders if his best friend will ever be human again. The thought burns him, hurts worse than the bully's punches did when he was younger, hurts worse than even knowing his grandfather wasn't going to come home. Aaron is his home. He doesn't let himself cry. Just leads Aaron out of the river and spends a few minutes coaxing him onto the horse. The horse doesn't seem to feel Aaron's weight at all. Swinging himself in front of Aaron, Armin takes a moment to orient himself before he kicks the horse into a gallop, heading back to the walls. The strange snap creak of bones changing starts a half hour after they start to ride, and Aaron groans, his head rolling forward to rest on top of Armin's. It's weird, because Armin can feel him shrinking, feel his ribcage heaving against Armin's back as it reshapes itself. Armin could weep from relief, but he's cried enough for a day, so he bites his tongue instead, forcing the prickling heat from his eyes. Aaron's head slides down to rest in the crook of his neck, and Armin can feel deep, rhythmical breathing on his skin. Aaron will be okay. Aaron always manages to be okay. Aaron hums tiredly, questioningly, against Armin's neck. It puts a shiver down his spine, and then Aaron yawns, jaw cracking. What happened? He doesn't sound alarmed, arms clasped around Armin's waist, but he does sound curious. Sounds tired and out of it, mostly, but also curious. 5 Titans attacked. You were knocked out and they were all killed. We were just shit lucky, Armin says shortly. He feels Aaron nod, sort of dazedly. Then he stiffens and chokes, leaning to the side to puke. That's not what happened, Aaron gasps, a hysteria rising in his voice. Fuck, Armin, that's not what happened. Oh, fuck. His voice is high and thready with terror and self-loathing. Shit, Armin, I'm so sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. Yes, it is. Armin cuts him off, And even Armin is surprised at how cold, how hard his voice is. Five titans attacked, you were knocked out, and they were all killed, and we were just shit lucky. Eren goes so quiet behind him that Armin looks over his shoulder in concern. Eren is looking at him. And at first, Armin can't believe the fear he sees in his friend's eyes. And then he can. The end.
We've got no reason to speak. Come the sun. When it's done, we've no reason to speak.
If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening. Lungs. Written by Synergenic. Read by Opalsong. Part 2 of The Essentials.
I wanted to help you escape from the day. I couldn't speak to you. It might help my racist heart. I couldn't speak to you. For what could I say? These words seem obscene now. In the light to the
Armin is fine when they get back. He is fine when answering the expected questions, describing the gory tragedy that left everyone in his squad but himself and Eren dead. Fine in the ride back with the 104th's careful consolations. Fine even when he can feel Eren's eyes burning fearful on the back of his neck. Maybe even too fine. Corporal Levi, when checking on Eren, gives Armin a steady, bluntly quizzical look. And soon enough, the commander, prosthetic still tick-ticking out of a glitch Hanji hasn't fixed yet, rides by, making easy, reassuring conversation. The itch of dead blue eyes on him makes Armin's palm sweat nervous. But Armin has had an entire life of play-acting behind him. A fucked-up prophetic preparation for this, he guesses. So Armin's voice has the perfect tremble now, eyes watering in a way that isn't quite fake as his lips shiver sadly over his words. and he can see the commander fall for it. Hook, line, sinker. He is only human, and Armin is very good. Armin is fine, until he isn't. It's stupid, and Armin hates himself for it. So fucking stupid. But he was twitchy already from sleep interrupted by night sweat and the taste of human heart on his tongue. Anxious already from Aaron's terrified treatment of him. He didn't go so far to save his best friend just to lose his best friend anyway. And... The chewing is just so fucking loud. Armin sucks in a thorny, desperate breath, hearing it leave his lips again as a whine, and his eyes are roving over the mess hall, focusing on people's teeth, how they bite down into the meat to tear it away and chew. His fingers feel numb, shaking and empty, and Armin looks down to see that he's dropped his tray, that he's standing in the front of the center of the mess hall, frozen, but he can't move. People are starting to look, his breath loud and tasting coppery over his tongue, tasting like heart. Armin swaying as his weight shifts, flighty without his permission. I... He stutters over vowels, hands clenching and unclenching, and he needs to move. He needs to get away from the sound and the meat, but he can't move. Please... He whispers, and he's not sure what he's asking for. Arlert, the corporal says, decisive as the hand of God, but so much more present, grasping one of Armin's forearms lightly and placing his other hand on Armin's shoulder, pressing gently to march him, steady, from the mess hall. Armin's breath is coming faster and faster, loud in the empty hallway. His feet beginning to stumble, his hand clenching automatically on the one on his forearm. Just a little further, Arlert, then you can collapse, I promise, Corporal Levi says. True to his word, Armin is only pushed a few steps further until he's allowed to curl up, pressing his back to the wall and sliding into the tight, protective corner made by the bisecting walls. Armin has a feeling this spot was chosen on purpose. He's saying something, he thinks, or at least trying to, spitting out mangled syllables between choked gasps, and he can't really hear what it is or what the corporal is saying back, hands gentle as they stroke up and down Armin's arms. There is a burning in his throat and in his eyes, and he moans when he realizes he's crying. That's all he's good for, is crying, and watching people die and... Armin Arlert, that is not true, and I will not have one of my people thinking so. The corporal's voice hums, warping into something Armin can hear. Erwin has half a fucking mind to start grooming you for commander now. Armin shrieks out a laugh. Oh God, humanity would die. He breaks down, doubling over in laughter that feels more like harsh sobs, frenetic and vile in the air. Fuck, I was waiting for this, Corporal Levi mutters, adjusting his arms around Armin until Armin is cradled in them, Armin letting his head roll into the crook of the corporal's neck, boneless. You were way too fucking composed. Should have goddamn known it was hiding a fucking flood of trauma. You fucking kids do shit all to help yourself. You know that? His words are harsh, but his tone is not. Hands gentling Armin's desperate breaths with slow circles on his back, rocking the two of them back and forth. Armin feels himself steady, eventually, heaving in gummy breaths and hot cold shivering like he always does after he's cried for long enough. Then he realizes what a vulnerable position he's gotten himself into, how the secret on his back is weighing much heavier now. He snorts in a breath and coughs, detaching himself and rubbing his nose with his sleeve to give him some time to fix his expression. Shake it off, he thinks to himself bitterly, remembering his father's words the first time he came home with a bully's love mark. "Thank you, Corporal," he says, sweetly sincere as he lets his eyes drift over the ground, timidly avoiding eye contact. "It's a fucking horror show how you do that," the corporal steamrolls, rocking back on his heels and looking Armin over. "I know you're just a kid, but are you human, even?" Armin flinches, and the corporal cringes, shaking his head. "Forget that. That was my own shit talking. You good?" Combing fingers through his hair, Armin nods. "I'm all right." Sniffing in a breath, the corporal nods. "Good." He nods again. "Well, I'm going back to the mess hall," Armin says wearily, unwilling to deal with a clumsy wrap-up to an awkward meltdown he shouldn't have let himself have. "You okay?" Aaron asks him from across the table, guardedly, sort of quiet. Mikasa looks sad and confused, and Armin hates that, how she glances between himself and Aaron like she's trying to figure out which parts she needs to fix. Armin swallows, cuts his eyes away from where Aaron is biting into his ration of beef. "Beef," he chants in his head. "Beef, cow, animal, not human, not heart." And shrugs. "Yeah, I'm tired, so..." He picks a splinter of wood off the table with his bitten-down nails, flicks it away. "You sure?" Aaron presses, and something sunlight warm and good bursts in Armin's chest, because Aaron doesn't press anymore, usually just lets it go, but he's pressing. Glancing up at Aaron cautiously, Armin meets his eyes, waits hopefully, and feels like vomiting when the flicker of fear still lights Aaron's eyes up brighter. His gut sours. He isn't hungry anymore, though he has barely eaten half his portion. "Yeah, I'm sure." Pushing himself up, he slides his tray down to Sasha. "I'm done," he says, listens with half an ear to her grateful sobbing and her yelled praises of his name as he leaves. He ducks his head to avoid the corporal's eyes as he does. Then he fucks up. Not badly, not enough to hurt Aaron or the integrity of the story keeping Aaron safe, but Armin can see the moment after he pulls the trigger on his left grapple that it won't make the next wall in the obstacle course, that he is going to fall. Shunting his weight to the side in the air, Armin heaves himself towards the lower tower, skid marks from other boots streaking down like tear tracks, and yelps when his body cracks against it. He rolls, striking the supporting columns and falling onto another platform, his weight forcing his movement to continue, rolling him off the edge and onto the ground with a thump. After a long, slow moment of numbness, Armin groans, dizzying pain awakening in his limbs, rising heavy inside his gut. He cracks his eyes open, staring at the sky and feeling them water at the light. He doesn't think he's ever been in quite so much pain. "Armin!" Aaron's voice rips desperate, and Armin can hear the sounds of a messy landing, hear Aaron's loping run towards him. And Armin can't move through the fire that locks his muscles up. "Armin, oh fuck, Armin!" Aaron drops to his knees beside Armin, hands fluttering over Armin's chest as he mutters, "Holy fuck, what the fuck did I do? Your spine, fuck, can you feel your legs?" Armin wiggles his toes, whines his affirmative, and Aaron breathes out a sigh. "Okay, I don't think you should move." Armin responds with a scream of laughter, and Aaron winces. "Yeah, okay, fuck, we should wait until Levi gets here." "Levi is here," the corporal says, striding toward them both with Mikasa at his side. She rushes to where Aaron is crouched, falling at Armin's other side and joining Aaron in fluttering her hands over Armin desperately and uselessly, before very, very gently brushing some hair back from Armin's face. Mikasa smiles at him, gentle and kind. Armin tries to smile back, but falls into a grimace as his lip splits. "Can you wiggle your toes?" Levi barks, squatting and pushing Eren away with a hand on Eren's face. Armin nods. "Your ankles?" Armin can, when he tries, but it makes pain roll up through his body and Levi gestures for him to stop. "All right, so you can probably walk," he concludes, and Mikasa glances at him sharply. He glances acerbically right back. "The fuck did you expect me to do? Whip some medical training out of my ass? Carry him back to his room. Let him sleep it off. If he can't move tomorrow, come and get me." With that, he pushes himself to his feet, turning to the rest of the squad and snapping at them to get back to work. Eren fits warm, careful arms under Armin's knees and shoulders, and Armin sucks in a breath when Eren lifts him, walking slow and gentle out back towards HQ. "What happened, Armin?" Mikasa asks quietly, a hand moving to play with her scarf while she walks alongside them. "That wasn't like you." It's a kinder way of saying the mistake Armin made was juvenile, and about 2 years of training behind him. "I haven't been getting a lot of sleep," Armin says shortly. Mikasa cocks her head, eyes calm as they gaze at him. "Since the mission?" she asks, and neither he nor Eren could stop the stiffening of their muscles. A hand on Eren's shoulder stops him, and Mikasa moves to stand in front of them. "I want to know what really happened." "Five Titans attacked," Armin begins to reel off, and Eren cuts him off. "I ate people. I killed and ate people, and Armin covered it up." It's a broad explanation, notably lacking some cannibalism-related details, and Armin watches as Mikasa processes the words, watches understanding backlight the horror in her eyes. "Oh," she says, very quiet. Eren swallows, keeps his eyes locked with hers as they communicate in the wordless way they have. Seconds pass like years before Mikasa nods, slowly, carefully, and steps to the side to allow Eren to pass. "Thank you," she murmurs with a squeeze to Armin's ankle. And then Armin is crying again, because he's being thanked for being a monster. Eren helps him into bed, hands firm on Armin, but his eyes always on the ground. And when Armin is being tucked in like a child, he mutters, resentful, "I don't like that you're afraid of me." "I'm not," Eren starts, but he stops himself at Armin's glare. He flushes, fiddles with some of the blanket over Armin's knee. "It's hard not to be," he admits, soft. "You fed me someone's goddamn heart, Eren," Armin yells, a sob caterwauling up his throat and splattering between them, ugly. Eren flinches away, shoulders tensing. "After you stabbed him, Armin," he mutters, and Armin draws in a breath. I know what I did. He laughs, a desperate huff. "Believe me, I know what I did, but you did some scary shit too." "Because you made me," Armin says numbly. "Because I needed to so you'd be safe." Eren cringes away from those words, linking his hands in his lap. "I know." "It was only cause you ripped Elise's back open." Armin fumbles, breath speeding. "And ate her. After you'd finished killing Willem, who you ate. That's the only reason because if I hadn't..." "I know, Armin," Eren says, and his voice is so wrecked, so broken, and Armin shakes his head, a hysteric half-laugh catching behind his teeth. "You're not allowed to be afraid of me," Armin cries. "Not after I fucking picked corpse meat out of your teeth and buried people that I knew. I liked them. And, Eren, you can't. Not after I did all that for you. I did it all. You can't, when it was all... That's part of the problem. Fuck! Aaron yells back. And Armin's breath is coming in gasping heaves, and his face is hot and wet, and he shakes when Aaron shouts. God damn it, Armin! If you do that, what else would you do for me? His eyes are wild, chest heaving with breath, and Armin sways, blood rushing too hot inside of him. Anything, he says, sort of distantly, but sort of not, because this is the truth, at the end. The truth driving this entire fucking train wreck forward. Anything. I'd do anything for you. Aaron whines between his teeth. Please don't say that. Please don't fucking say that. It's true, though, Armin says, voice gaining strength with the surety he feels behind his words. I'd do anything for you. To keep you safe. I'd kick the walls down if you needed it. I don't want to know that, Aaron snarls, and then he's pawing his way into Armin's bed, sliding forward, and his grip on Armin's chin is as tight as it was when he was feeding Armin Jodin's heart when he kisses him, all rough and clumsy hot. Armin makes a noise of surrender and feels his muscles unspool inside his skin, sinking back, and Aaron follows him down, a hand on either side of Armin's head. Their lips part with a wet smack that puts something trembling between Armin's hips, and Aaron takes in a quick breath. Aaron, Armin murmurs. Aaron pushes himself off the bed, and Armin rises onto his elbows. What? I'm sorry, Armin, Aaron blurts, loud as his eyes dart around the room. I'm really fucking sorry. Then he's scrambling from the room, shutting the door behind him with a crack. The 59th excursion beyond the walls goes, well, right up until it's almost over. The recon corps trudging back with an optimistically low list of casualties when Armin hears the first horrific snaps of bone twisting under skin. Jerking his head to the side, he watches as Armin's hands drop the reins, eyes unfocusing as his head tips back to the sky, a low groan beginning in the back of his throat. Aaron? Armin asks, panicked. He gets no response, and Armin breaks formation as he canters toward where Aaron has bent himself back in a series of loud, sickening cracks, ribcage heaving under his skin. The groan arches into a scream, Aaron slumping sideways off his horse, and Armin whimpers when Aaron's limbs elongate and jaw reshape in a series of shudders. Planting one hand on the ground, then the other, Aaron arches his back and roars, spooking Armin's horse. Armin fights to get the beast back under control before he just pitches himself off the saddle, unable to spare the time. Aaron has risen to balance on the balls of his feet and palms, poisonous green eyes flickering forward and latching onto where the commander has dismounted, facing Aaron a distance away. Armin can hear the animalistic intake of breath on Aaron's part, see his eyes focus on the commander, and Armin thinks hysterically that the commander probably thinks Aaron would still stop for him. No, Aaron! Armin cries, when Aaron grunts and picks up a four-legged loping gait heading towards the commander, gaining speed as he goes. Heaving in a breath, Armin pitches himself forward, closer to the commander than Aaron is, and cutting through the space on an angle to get there quicker. Commander Irwin's eyes never flicker as Aaron approaches, and Armin thinks miserably that he's going to die, that Armin can't stop it. He skids in front of the commander, throwing his arms out. Aaron, no! Pulling back into a stop and falling onto his ass, Aaron blinks at Armin twice before growling, heaving his weight onto his feet and thrusting himself forward, arms splayed in a pose that mirrors Armin as he howls back. He snorts in a breath, shunting Armin back a couple steps when he paws at Armin's shoulder, like he's trying to get Armin to step aside. "No, Aaron," he repeats. "No, you can't. You can't." Aaron screams at those words, drawing his fingers down his face hard enough to gouge 8 red divots in his flesh, tearing at his stomach and eviscerating himself in 3 neat cleaves, first with his right hand and then his left, then his right again. He screams, tossing his head, one bloodied eye still rolling sightlessly in its socket, and picking his gaze off the commander, turning it outwards. Grunting, he takes 3 steps in Jean's direction, Armin scrambling to stay in front of Aaron. "No, you can't. Please, please." His voice breaks as he mutters those words, gripping the sides of Aaron's face on tiptoes and tugging it down to his level. Aaron's spine bending fluidly. "Not again, Aaron. Please, I can't fix it if you do it this time," he pleads, knowing understanding is beyond Aaron. Aaron blinks, desperate breaths puffing out over Armin's lips, and then he howls again, tucking Armin under one arm and stalking to where his horse stands, reaching forward and burying his fingers into the meat of her neck before biting down on the top of her head, crunching through the skull with cerebral fluid dripping over his skin. Armin sobs. Aaron loved that horse. He's tossed onto the ground, Aaron hunching down in front of him, spitting his first mouthful at Armin's feet, growling. "Yeah," Armin says, distant as his eyes start to lose focus. "That's fine, Aaron." Aaron picks the hunk of brain he spat at Armin off the ground and shoves it into his mouth, burying his fingers between the horse's ribs and using the bones as handles to drag her closer, biting into the neck with a satisfied purr. Armin takes in a juddering breath. There are mutters floating in the air around him, and it takes a colossal amount of effort to take his eyes off of where they were fixed onto the clever movement of Aaron's hands, to let his gaze pass over their surroundings. Mikasa is closest, blades drawn and standing protectively over Armin, but even she flinches at the sound of Aaron enjoying his meal. There are several cracks as he forces the ribcage open, then a pleased chirruping and the sloppy noises of the lungs tearing, Aaron mashing the pinkish flesh into his mouth greedily. Aaron's arm reaches out, slinging over Armin's shoulders, and he slumps forward, doll-like, when Aaron drags him through a patch of blood and close to his unnaturally warm side. Head leaning on Aaron's ribs, Armin looks at the faces of those around him, sees the commander and the corporal walking towards Aaron, and Armin turns his face into Aaron's side to hide from them. Gurgling out a curious note, Aaron perks and fixes his eyes on the approaching figures, throwing an arm protectively over his kill. "It's fine," Armin says tiredly, still not moving. "It's fine, Aaron." Snarling in a breath, Aaron licks over his forearm before grunting and sticking his hands back into the steaming cavern of flesh, ignoring the commander and corporal thoroughly now that Armin's reassured him they won't take his meat. "Arlert, are you all right?" the corporal asks, and Armin sighs, numb and so, so tired. "I'm alive, sir," he answers, and Aaron growls when Armin speaks, looking up at the figures and back to Armin before he growls again, slapping a blood-covered hand onto Armin's face, pressing Armin into his side a moment, holding Armin there. He grunts before letting go, eating the liver in a few messy bites. "What is this, Armin?" the commander asks next, fixing his corpse's eyes onto Armin. "I don't know," Armin breathes. "Was Aaron what killed your squad?" His next question is blunt, and Armin shakes his head. "He transformed when he saw the 5 Titans, and lost consciousness as he transformed back," Armin says, the lie flowing easily, thoughtlessly, from his lips. "Did he eat any human flesh?" the commander asks next, and Armin sees how the corporal shifts when he hears this question, hands already moving to his blades. Armin grits his teeth. No. Really? The commander's eyes are drilling into his. Armin straightens his shoulders, meeting his gaze firmly. I didn't let him. And the ambiguity of that statement is what gives it credence, he thinks. Watches as Commander Irwin swallows the lie like Armin knew he would. The grip Mikasa has on her blades relaxes just slightly when the commander nods, the corporal's body shifting into something safe again. Then Armin ruins the lie by pulling the heart from the emptied cavern, just like he did last time, holding it as he grips Armin's chin in the other, just like the last time. And Armin can't stop his scream. No! He struggles backwards, and Aaron rumbles, irritated, as he slings his arm tighter around Armin, holding him still against Aaron's side. No, Aaron, don't! Aaron! Mikasa cries, alarmed, and then Aaron has pressed his mouth to Armin's, tongue shoving the torn piece of heart into his mouth. Drawing back, Aaron watches with unblinking eyes as Armin dry heaves, the taste making liquid panic eddy in his gut. Shaking his head, Armin tries to spit it back out, but Aaron clamps his jaw closed with one hand, bending his back and butting his head into Armin's stomach. Shivering, Armin looks out at where a visibly stricken Levi is being held back with a few fingers at his wrist by the commander, whose eyes are calculating as they watch Armin begin to chew. Aw, fuck this, he hears Jean curse behind him. Aaron makes a pleased purring noise when he sees Armin swallow, nips affectionately at the underside of his jaw, before Aaron pinches more meat between his teeth, tearing it away and passing it to Armin with something he refuses to call a kiss. Armin almost falls into a trance, at the rhythmic pattern of chewing, dry-heaving till he swallows, parting his lips for the next piece, and starting to chew again. Mikasa is crying, tears trickling down her face silently, and Armin wishes she wouldn't. When Aaron grabs at Armin's jaw as he feeds him, hearing the murmurs spin dizzily in the air around him. Aaron's horse's heart was bigger than Jodin's, takes more time to eat, and by the time Aaron splays his bloodied palm in front of Armin, Armin's stomach feels swollen and angry. He hiccups on his sobs when he licks the blood away, encouraged by Armin's curious tugs at his hair with his other hand and rough noises of satisfaction. Nuzzling closer, Aaron sticks out his tongue and licks Armin's tears away, happy hum buzzing against Armin's cheek. He pats Armin, coiling his hair over long fingers, pressing his face into the crook of Armin's neck, cooing again and again like he's praising Armin for something. Armin chokes, spits up some bile to swallow it back down, uninterested in finding out what Aaron's reaction might be like if Armin were to vomit. Aaron, he says dazedly, and Aaron chirrups in response. Pushing at Aaron's shoulder until Aaron gives Armin space, he totters to his feet, forcefully keeping himself from looking at anyone else. He feels odd, vulnerable, sort of used. Swaying to his feet beside Armin, Aaron seems to at last take notice of their surroundings, growling low. Mikasa, looking unsure, takes a step back, and Aaron makes a protesting noise in his throat, wiggling one of his fingers under the chest strap of her 3DMG, and tugging her close again. He grunts decisively before wiggling his finger out, poking with oddly gentle curiosity at the scarf she wears. Mikasa's eyes are wide and watery, staring up at Aaron as he gurgles and babbles, unwinding and winding the scarf around her head. Armin? The commander asks, tone cautious. It feels like it takes a while for Armin to remember how to feel his own body, for him to turn his head stiffly in the commander's direction. We need to move. He should, Armin starts, clears his throat when his voice rasps uselessly. He should be good now. The commander nods, looking hesitant. Corporal Levi shoulders past the man, holding the reins of a horse in one hand as he walks towards Armin. "Are you in any way okay right now?" he asks as he hands them to Armin. Armin nods, sort of numbly, mostly on instinct, and Corporal Levi looks deadbeat miserable. "No, you're fucking not. Fuck, kid. I'm sorry." Armin just nods again, drifting back to where Erin is holding Mikasa up by her arms, gazing at her as intently as she is gazing at him. "Erin," he says, and Erin drops Mikasa, turning to the horse and clambering up on it, gazing down at Armin when he's done, and burbling, expectant. "Good job, Erin," Armin says. Hears Aaron's vocalizations pitch happy. Then he swings up on the horse in front of Erin, letting Erin lock long arms around his waist. Armin avoids the eyes of the 104th, cheeks burning as he rides past them. Erin doesn't transform back. The end.
We've got no reason to speak. Come the sun, when it's done, we've no reason to speak.
If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening. Liver. Written by Synergenic. Read by Opalsong. Part 3 of The Essentials.
I wanted to help you escape from the day. I couldn't speak to you. It might help my racist heart. I couldn't speak to you. For what could I say? These words seem obscene now. In the light to the
slamming against the thing that blocks the sky from him again, he howls, angry, scared, hungry. Erin, he hears, and he knows that sound. The one that starts open, before the rough catch of tongue touched to teeth, meandering back into the same open sound that is cut off with an edged hum made when the smaller ones press their teeth together somehow, in a way that his won't. It's the sound they make when they want him to look at them. He shakes shutters because the stone is still there, still all around him, and there is no sky, no ground, no meat, just stone and metal and cold and hunger. Draws his head back, slams it against the stone. It will work eventually. Everything can be broken eventually. Aaron. The sound happens again, behind him, but this time it's a different sort of voice making that sound. It's her. And he feels the strange swirl of warm inside him. Warmer than the feel of meat going smooth down his throat and filling the empty, somehow. It makes him turn around, lope over to where the thick metal sticks are ominously pressing him back into the stone. She stands there, and he feels the warm burble up in his chest and out his throat, making his voice twist and ripple from him. There is another one, small and dark pale beside her, but he ignores that one, sticking his arm between two of the metal sticks, flinching when his arm touches one accidentally. They are so cold. And grasping the brown lines that are attached onto her, using them to draw her closer. She is so small, he thinks sadly. She must be so hungry to be so small, the emptiness shrinking her down. Feed the hunger, become stronger, and he thinks about maybe giving her the dark pale one to eat, to make her stronger and bigger and more difficult to be eaten. But as he thinks it, he jerks, slamming one hand to the side of his head when his voice starts in his head, murmuring the other sound, no. The one that means no eating, no meat, and he doesn't know why he likes it when he's hungry, but he seems so upset when he tried to eat before. He does not reach for the dark pale one. Aaron? She makes the noise, and he makes a noise back. He is looking at her. What else does that noise mean? Please, let go, Aaron. We can't open the cell this way. She babbles, nonsense winding its way out of her mouth. He tilts his head to the side, looking at her, as he tries to realize what she wants. It is not food. None of them seem to want proper food. Fucking whatever, he'll figure it out. The dark pale one gurgles, and then he is stepping close to the metal sticks, close to him, and when he shrinks back, do not eat, so hungry, do not eat. She breathes a huffed breath, body pressing up to the metal sticks. Then a section of the metal sticks starts to part, breaking away, and three of the metal sticks brush his arm. Yelping, he stops holding her, backing away instinctively from the burning cold. His back hits the hollow made where two sections of stone meet, and the stone over top of him slinks lopsided, so when he shudders, his head strikes the rock above him as well. Wailing, he drops to the ground to hide, throwing his arms over his neck so the sky-stealing stone can't get to it. Oh, Aaron, it's all right. It won't hurt you, I promise. She jabbers, voice all soft and warm and good, like the feel of his fingers tearing through the fragile stomach of meat. Her tiny, halfway cool hands, more proof of how starved they all are, touch his shoulder, pat his head. I'd never let anything hurt you, and that isn't going to change now. It's all right. He can't understand you, brat. He can understand tone, and he knows his name. Whining, he shakes his head at all of the strange, twist-rippling sound in the air, and then her noises fall into something sane, gentle purrs that tell him he's safe. He isn't sure why she is trying to tell him so. The sky is gone. He is surrounded by stone and cold, and he is hungry. But he tucks himself close to her tiny legs, curling around them and pressing his face into her soft belly. Over her womb. Hands tangle into his hair, her soft cooing continuing as she scratches his scalp. Frowning, he snarls under his breath when that makes him remember something. A memory rising as an ache in his skull. Warm hands doing the same. But those hands are like his, properly made, and he can feel two others curled up around him, the third gently working through his hair, crouched above them all. He whimpers. The memory makes him lonely. She is shifting, her thin limbs moving under him, and he snorts, irritated as she rises. She bares her teeth happily at him, and he opens his mouth, curling his lips back to do the same. That's fucking horrifying. The dark pale one makes a buzz of noise that she doesn't react well to, clipping sounds at that one sharply in a way that makes him snarl his pleasure. She may be small and cool and empty, but she is still stronger than anyone else would be, small and cool and empty. He knows, somehow. Gripping his wrist with both of her hands, she begins to lead him from the stone hollow, careful when leading him through the opening in the metal sticks so that they don't touch him. He gurgles, leaning closer to her and fitting his teeth gently over her shoulder, biting down affectionately. Taking one hand from his wrist, she pats his head again, and he coos at her, pressing his nose to her cheek and breathing in. You two are the creepiest siblings I've seen in my goddamn life, and I've met twins, the dark pale one's voice drawls, all thickly through these sounds, and he can't understand the feel of it. It's all edged like anger, but it isn't harsh enough. Has something like pleased humming under it, but no happiness to make it pleased. It unsettles him, and he places his hand around the dark pale one's jaw, grunting as he holds it closed. Something burning starts in the dark pale one's black eyes, and he recognizes something challenging. This, he understands. He growls low in his throat, thinking of how stupid this one must be, to think he can challenge him when he is tall and strong, not thin and cold and weak. Aaron, she voices, and she is telling him to look at her, but also not to challenge this tiny pale thing, sound curved like she's worried for him. He pauses, thinking about how easy it would be to grip until the skull is crushed, about how good the meat would taste, not like the furred brown thing he'd let him eat before. Aaron? She hums again, sounding like she is entreating him now. Aaron huffs, letting go. Breathing deep, she starts up a jagged hill of stone, and he fumbles, feet catching on the cold, varying levels of rock, and falling onto it, feeling his nose break into his face sharply, and presses deep into his skull. He snorts. The effect with his nose as it is sprays blood far out over the stone hill, and shakes his head to clear it, spreading his hands and adjusting his feet to crawl carefully up the hill, following her steps. The dark pale one walks behind him. She takes him through series of stone hollows, passing by others, and he thinks it's strange how some start pacing away from them, and others call out the sound, making his head whip around as he tries to look at them. The ones that do so start walking with her and him, jabbering at him at times, but mostly babbling at her, who natters back with a voice that sounds like how first blood tastes. It's all very loud and confusing, and he grunts, clasping the sides of his head to try and make it work faster. Hunger is burning low in his belly, making it hard, and he stops as slow, creeping, overwhelming pressure fills his skull, trickling into the rest of his body and freezing it. A low growl sparks in his throat, doesn't stop, and the ones that have surrounded him all stop too, quiet. If he's gonna try to fucking eat us again, I'm done. Out. The one with hair that is dark and hair that is light hacks these sounds, spits them with something rough roiling and hot in them. We're just confusing him, Jean. Everything must be so confusing to him right now. Another voice sighs, soft and sweet like liver, And then one of them steps in front of him. He reels back, snorting and grunting in surprise, because this one has all of his coloring, yellow and blue and pink white. But he can smell the womb in her, smell another wombed one all over her skin, and he had only smelt like himself and him, as was right. Tilting his head, he crouches until his face is level with hers, frowning as he huffs in her scent, poking her face and touching her hair with his fingers, softly. He wants to be gentle with her, and he doesn't know why. This irritates him, makes him growl low in his throat, and then a brown-colored one twitches towards them. A soft, pink-white hand is raised, stilling the figure. Her teeth are bared gently, and he returns the gesture, though he doesn't have to open his mouth as wide this time. "I'm not Armin," she coos, and he perks, hearing the sound that means him. Raising his head, he glances around, swiveling his neck to see where he is. "Aaron," she voices, and he looks back to her. She grasps his face in both of her hands. "Armin isn't here right now, but that's all right. He will be soon, okay?" The sound flings itself higher at the end, and he snorts, confused. She makes a rhythmic, hitching breath throat sound, her shoulders shaking with it, and then she tosses her head from side to side softly. "Let's go outside, Aaron. You'll feel better once you're outside," she gurgles, curling one hand around two of his fingers and starting to walk, tugging him behind her. Beside him, she makes a sound like rot in her throat, but she is soft and sweet like liver, and he likes her. Continues to walk behind her obediently. Yellow and blue makes him want to listen, because yellow and blue mean safety and leader and kind and food found. He does not know why, but the instinct is under his bones and hasn't made him hurt beyond hunger yet, and he is used to feeling hungry. He does not know why he is used to feeling hungry, either. Wood embedded in rock is ahead of them, imposing and solid, and she keeps walking toward it, like she'll simply pass through. He huffs and growls, pulling her back by her grip on him. She should not smash into them. They're all odd that they keep bleeding once they're hurt. Wounds don't just burn themselves away like they should. "Oh, Aaron, those are doors," she chirps nonsense, trying to walk forward again, and Aaron grunts, tugging her back firmly. Taking a few striding steps forward, she walks in front of them both and places her hands on the wood, a ripple of strength going from her shoulders down her arms, and then the wood splits in half, and yawning behind it is a gush of air that brings the scent of sky and ground and space to him, a square view of green edged with blue on top. Aaron howls, tugging himself away from her and galloping towards her, scooping her up in his arms as he leaps over another sloping stone hill. Grass is crushed beneath his feet when he lands, and he tosses his head back, yelping as he runs with his face toward the sky. She is making the breath throat sound that the other one did before, now, curling her arms around his neck and clinging to him. He tosses himself onto his back, looking up at the wide spread of blue and white with his happiness winding its way out of his mouth in sound. Wriggling his back to feel the ground below him, he throws his hands up, twisting his fingers and rolling his wrists and watching the shape they make against the sky. She is small and cool upon him, and he curls one of his arms around her as he heaves onto his feet again. The others are standing around them, and he stops moving to look at them curiously, twisting and turning on the balls of his feet. "Aw, fuck, I forgot the horse," the light dark one burbles, and ragged groans rise from those that hadn't made noise. Grunting, he shakes his head, disliking how it sounded like hurt. He does not like the sound of hurt coming from them, doesn't like it in a way that makes a memory start scratching at the inside of his skull, weakly. "Don't goddamn bitch. Just amuse him for like 2 minutes while I go get it," Then the light dark one turns neatly and starts walking away, and he is about to make a noise of protest and stop him. He likes them all, now that he is used to how loud they are, and so they should stay with him. When the brown-colored one steps forward, pushes his hip hard enough to make him sway. He frowns, and she bares her teeth, sharp happy. Try to catch me, dumbass! She runs a good distance away from him, looking over her shoulder expectantly. Catch me, fucker! He wails with happiness when he realizes that she is playing chase with him, dropping her and loping after the brown-colored one, who laughs and runs faster than any of the other ones, sort of rough like him. The others have started making a riotous amount of sound, running as well, and he gurgles at how they'll run by him and brush their hand by his side, calling out the same noises the brown-colored one used to ask him to chase her. They're all playing chase with him, he realizes with another yelp, running in dizzying circles, criss-crossing in front of him and then behind him, and he is faster than all of them, but they are clever, distracting him by turn. He takes to simply grabbing them up in his arms and then tossing them lightly away to show he's caught them, and they laugh before scrambling to their feet again to continue the game. In his bed, Armin continues to stare blankly at the wall ahead of him, listening to the sounds that drift from his window with a deep, twisted ache tangled up in his ribcage. He hears Aaron's vocalizations, hears Sasha taunting him about how he'll never catch her until it breaks off with a squeal of laughter, hears Connie shout for revenge until his voice also breaks off with a squeak, higher in pitch than Sasha's. Armin can't make his heavy limbs take him there, no matter how much he knows he should descend. They've been worried. He knows they've been worried. He hasn't spoken to any of them but Jean since they returned. Hasn't left his room. He can't. Not with how he feels when people look at him now, like they're imagining him chewing on heart. Yo! Jean breezes in, drawling his greeting. Come get Aaron's horse meat with me. Armin shakes his head. I'm fine. His voice is a low, tired rasp. Jean snorts, grabbing his blankets and yanking them off the bed. The fact that Armin is naked under them doesn't seem to be a deterrent. Of course you are. You're fucking peachy. Get up, get dressed. His hands are on his hips, his foot tapping the ground. Armin is so tired. Please, he says, and his voice breaks. Jean throws a pair of pants at his head. Armin, get up. I'm not bringing you any more food, or water in a bucket to wash the grime off, or whatever. I'm gonna make you get up. There is no pity in his voice, no softness, and Armin remembers how there never was. Not even when Jean led him numbly to their room after the expedition, pushing others away when they got too close and sheltering him from the looks, the whispers. Not even as he sat Armin down, put a bucket between his knees and helped him retch up heart. Not even when he helped Armin wash and dress and crawl into bed. Jean, Armin pleads, heavy limbs and dark thoughts and tired mind paralyzing him. I will dress you. I will dress you like a child, Armin. You're getting up now. Shuddering, Armin curls into a ball. It's the first time he's moved in hours, and his muscles protest this mightily. Why? He whines, tears pricking in the backs of his eyes, and he bites his tongue till blood. Because I'm not fucking losing you too, idiot. And you're fading here, Jean says simply, tossing a shirt onto the bed before he grips Armin's shoulders and heaves him upright, propping him against the wall. Armin sways as blood rushes from his head, black spots dancing in his vision. So are you gonna get dressed, or am I gonna dress you? Because either way, you're gonna be leaving this room, clothed and good to go.
I hate you,
Armin whimpers. And Jean shrugs, looking entirely unbothered by that. Fine by me. Put some fucking pants on. The horse is lame, entirely useless, but Armin still feels guilty as he bridles her, scrubbing her ears and murmuring sweet things to her. "It's for Aaron," Jean says, and Armin hates how that is enough to soothe some guilt. "I know," Armin replies simply. Pausing, Jean shifts from foot to foot, looking awkward as Armin leads the horse out of her stall. "We won't. We," he sighs, scrubbing his hair with his hands. "We've talked about it, and we're not going to let him feed you this time. We've made plans." The words are said rushed, like he had to force them out quickly before the bravery to say them faded. Armin feels a cold, dark fear slink through his bones at those words, because he hadn't even thought about it as he bridled the horse, just thought about how Aaron needed this, how that made the sacrifice worth the price for Armin. He isn't sure if he can do it again, but he is doubly unsure that any plan to get between Aaron and his obsession to see Armin fed is a good one. "I'll do what I need to keep everyone safe. To keep Aaron safe."
"Fuck that, man! We won't let him do that to you again!"
And Armin bristles at the tone of Jean's voice, making it seem like it was an attack, like Aaron was trying to harm him, like Aaron is a danger to him. "He didn't do it to hurt me," he says sharply, feeling purpose surge through his limbs again.
"And that makes it okay?"
Jean snaps back, and Armin can't answer before someone does it for him.
"No, not at all. And you're right when you say it won't happen again,"
the corporal says from the entrance of the stable, the commander behind him, sleeve pinned as it is when he isn't wearing his prosthetic.
"Hurry the fuck up. The game of tag is starting to get violent."
"Stop assessing him with humanity's measuring sticks," Armin hisses, feeling something frenetic and cruel and protective curdle in his chest. "He isn't thinking like us right now." All three stop to look at him, the corporal's expression dead and dry, the commander's unreadable, Jean's red and indignant.
"So fucking what? Doesn't mean he gets to do whatever he wants to you."
Armin grits his teeth, because none of them understand. None of them but Mikasa. He opens his mouth, and the corporal cuts him off.
"Look, this is an argument that's going to take more time than we have right now. Can it, and take the fucking horse to Wonder Boy."
Clenching his jaw tighter, Armin nods, tugging gently at the bridle and walking roughly in the direction that the sound of tag is coming from. Jean jogs to walk slightly ahead of him, angling to shield Armin. God, why won't he let Armin just be pissed at him?
"Fuck you,"
he says, feeling petty and angry.
"Name the time and place, babe," Jean replies without missing a beat.
Armin snarls and doesn't say anything else after that. When Armin turns the corner that leads to the grassy yard Aaron and the others are caterwauling in, Aaron freezes, downwind from Armin, before he snaps his head around, locking his gaze onto Armin's figure. Armin raises a hand in greeting, wondering if Aaron will go for him or the horse first, and Jean grumbles. Behind Aaron, Mikasa smiles at him brilliantly, lighting up in a way that he only sees very, very rarely, and Armin is lost to wordlessness at the rise of complicated emotion this puts in his gut. He never wanted to hurt Mikasa when he'd closed himself away. His thoughts are cut off as Aaron thumps into him, curling hot arms around him and lifting him to press him close. Aaron's chin resting on top of his head while he chirrups.
"Ah ha ha ha, Aaron's happier to see you than he was to get outside," Sasha sings, stepping up to the horse and taking her bridle off. "Aaron shouldn't eat this. It might cause indigestion. Can he get indigestion?"
Armin wheezes out a breath in response. Aaron's hold is too tight to allow for actual words.
"How the fuck should anyone know that, Sasha?" Jean replies for him, and she shrugs. I was just asking, Jean. Jeez. Aaron. When she chirps Aaron's name, Aaron turns fully to look at her, keeping his hold on Armin. Sasha jumps, landing in a dramatic pose that directs one's gaze to the horse on account of her widespread arms. Come get breakfast! This is all yours! The horse doesn't even have time to react as Aaron drops Armin and leaps upon her, ripping open her neck with both hands. Aaron begins to maul the corpse, messier even than the first time Armin had seen him eat this way. He tears limb from limb, rending flesh with clawed hands and smashing it into his mouth, making loud, satisfied noises all the while. "Wow, I guess he was hungrier today," Sasha says cheerily, entirely unaffected. "Yeah," Jean replies, tense, and Armin watches as the 104th squad moves in the yard, a few making a ring around Aaron as he eats, a few making a ring around Armin, a few standing between them cautiously. "Don't say anything," Jean grits, sending a look in Armin's direction. Armin swallows harshly, feeling dissonance ring in his chest at this reaction. At how Mikasa is the one standing directly in front of him, shielding. The plan goes unused, though, because when Aaron's sounds begin to quiet down and they all turn to look at him, he's left with a red-tinged gummy skeleton, sucking the brains out of the skull and no uneaten heart to be seen. "That's unexpected." Sasha is still cheerful. "He must have been much hungrier today." The hollowed skull thrown to the ground, Aaron surveys what is left of his meal, making a distressed noise as he parses through the remains. He whips his head to Armin again, tears through the bones more fiercely, and then howls, neatly ripping into his face with clawed fingers. "Aaron!" Armin and Mikasa cry in unison, and their squad members clear the ground between them and Aaron. Clutching his hands to his face and crooning softly at the ground, Aaron shudders, and Armin aches for him. "Aaron, I promise it's all right," Armin murmurs the words, and something in his tone must strike Aaron, because his shoulders stiffen and he looks at Armin. Wide mouth pursed and brow knit in a surprisingly human expression of contemplation. Then he yelps, rising so quickly Armin can feel people behind him flinch, gathering up the bones in his arms in a way that is horrifyingly familiar. "No, Aaron, please don't," Armin prays. Aaron begins to lope toward him, eating the space between them quickly, and Armin feels deep fear writhe in his stomach like maggots when he drops the remains at Armin's feet, when he crouches and begins to dig a hole, glancing at Armin every so often with something writhing and frenetic in his eyes. A roar begins in Armin's ears, slinking down and stiffening his muscles up, freezing him in place. Aaron would have had to learn to bury bodies from someone. It seems that the commander has the same thought as Armin, because when Aaron begins to pat down the earth like he must have seen Armin do, looking at Armin desperately for approval, Commander Irwin walks to stand before Armin. "Armin," he says kindly, gesturing to where Aaron has finished hiding a body. "I want you to explain that." The end.
We've got no reason to speak. Come the sun, when it's done. We've no reason to speak.
If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening. Marrow. Written by Synergenic. Read by Opalsong. Part 4 of The Essentials. For the most part, they leave Rainer and Bertolt alone. For the most part, Rainer and Bertolt sit in the cell across from Annie's crystal coffin in silence. Sometimes talking, but most times not, because there isn't much to talk about when you are well and truly fucked in every definition of the word. For the most part, they're left alone, until suddenly they aren't. Colossal and armored! Hanji coos as they scramble down the stairs that lead to the more isolated part of the dungeons. Rainer flinches when he hears what they call him. Bertolt doesn't react at all, hunched in on himself in a corner of the cell. But Rainer isn't actually sure that he's moved since 3 sleeps ago, the last time they'd had a conversation. "Don't call us that," Rainer rasps, because they've been trying to starve themselves out, and his throat is parched. "Isn't that what you are?" Hanji asks, eyes bright and challenging, non-judgmental when they repeat the monikers he and Bertolt had been given. Rainer flinches back into the stone wall behind him, feeling this itching anxiety start in his mind, and he can't think too much about what he is. He can't, because... Bertolt heaves in a breath that sounds like a deep rattle, slumping his weight forward in a way that lets him reach Rainer's wrist, squeezing it just enough to keep him where he is. He doesn't let Rainer meet his eyes. "What do you want?" he asks, and his voice sounds worse than Rainer's. "Well, for starters, for you two to drink this," Hanji says, sliding in a tray that has 2 mugs of steaming tea and 2 bowls of porridge. Porridge with brown sugar and fruit. "And eat, preferably. But at this point, I think hydration is more important." Rainer doesn't really hear those last words, his eyes fixed onto the porridge and his stomach cramps up on itself with how hungry he is. The last time he'd been so hungry had been... A headache blindsides him, makes him double over and grasp his head in his hands, and Bertolt, who'd been the one to think of starving themselves just to get away, just to be done, looks at Rainer with broken eyes before he uncurls himself from the position he'd kept for days. Crawling looks painful, and Bertolt bites dry, papery lips and laps at his blood as he pulls himself to where the tray sits. He keeps his head down,
stays servile and fearful as he grasps the tray with shaking, swollen fingers, doesn't try to bother lifting it, just drags it along the ground carefully as he shuffles back to where Rainer is swallowing back painful snaps of memory he can't make sense of. Rainer, he whispers. Rainer shakes his head, whimpering. I don't want. He shudders, and talking hurts so much, but not nearly as much as the strange ripping sensation in his chest cavity. I'm tired, Bertel. He sighs to the ground. I'm really tired. This will help, Bertolt tells him, and his tone makes something in Rainer shudder and stretch, because that's the tone he uses when something is wrong with Rainer, and it's not his fault, and it's not all the time, but sometimes Rainer, Bertolt says, and Rainer sucks in a breath and realizes he's shaking. This will help. Bertolt's swollen fingers are wrapped around a mug of tea. When did they get tea? Aren't they trying to? And Bertolt's breath catches wounded in his chest as he uses the strength of both arms to lift the mug, some tea splashing over the rim and trailing down his fingers. He presses the hot ceramic to Rainer's lips, and Rainer jerks himself back, startled. No! Bertolt breathes, and Rainer freezes. You need to drink this, Rainer. He sounds coaxing, and Rainer parts his lips, raising his own hands to cover Bertolt's, tipping the mug forward. Rainer almost chokes over his first mouthful of tea. How hot it is, and how much taste it has, almost overwhelming him. That's good, Bertolt says, a rictus smile appearing on his face when Rainer holds the mug by himself, swallowing again and again and again. That's really good, Rainer. He sounds like he's trying not to cry. When the mug is finished, Bertolt holds another one up, pressing this one to his lips too. There's another one. Rainer almost takes a swallow before a thought occurs to him. What about you? Bertolt's eyes redden, and he presses the mug more firmly to Rainer's lips. Rainer, just... You have to have some too. Bertolt pulls in a raspy, shaking breath, and his hands shake more violently. Rainer, please. And Rainer isn't sure about a lot of things anymore. Not all the time, anyway. And it's weird to know that he's broken, but not able to feel what parts of him are damaged. But he's sure that he had a mug of tea, and Bertolt hasn't yet. You have to have some too, he repeats. Fuck. Bertolt whines, the sound ragged. Looks like he's going to try to fight Rainer on this, but Rainer clenches his jaw, raising one hand and sliding it between his mouth and the mug. Bertolt does start to cry now, small tears that look like they're painful to shed as his trembling hands bring the mug to his own lips, as he takes a sip and makes a noise in his throat and swallows it down as quickly as Rainer had. Sniffing, Bertolt scrapes his hand across his mouth, before he picks up a bowl next, pulling a spoon heaped with porridge out and holding it against Rainer's lips. Now you have to eat. Rainer shudders and comes back to his mind violently, one hand flying out and Bertolt dodges tiredly, hunches over the porridge protectively before he holds out the spoon again. Rainer, you have to eat. He sounds pleading, and it takes Rainer a few moments to process those words, a few more to process the texture he feels on his mouth. Rainer parts his lips, and Bertolt angles the spoon between his teeth, drops the porridge onto his tongue. Rainer grunts in surprise at the tart taste of some kind of berry, and he can feel his stomach again, feel how empty it is inside of him. One hand grabs the bowl, the other wrestles the spoon from Bertolt's grip, and begins to shovel the food into his mouth quickly, barely chewing before he swallows. Bertolt watches with a raw, bleeding expression, his arms wrapped around his knees as he rocks back and forth. When Rainer is scraping the sides of the bowl with the spoon, Bertolt holds up a second bowl. Rainer. That one's yours, Rayner says, remembering the tea vaguely. He can't remember how long ago that was. You tried. With the tea, too. You tried. Sorry, Bertolt cuts in, placating. Sorry. Look, I'm eating too, see? He picks up his bowl, shoves a spoonful into his mouth. I'm eating. It's okay. He doesn't talk for a while after that, eating as desperately as Rayner had, looking at the inside of the bowl when he's done. I didn't know, Hanji says, and Rayner shudders as he remembers that Hanji is here, as he remembers that he forgot Hanji is here. I didn't know you two were in such bad states. You don't care, Bertolt says tiredly, defensively. You don't. This is said as a reminder, as a shield between them and the people they grew to love too much to kill like they were supposed to. Rayner remembers that now, too. He wonders if they'd have been better off if they'd managed to go through with it. He doubts it. All right, Hanji replies softly. Then they straighten, adjusting their glasses. The commander may need your help. Faster than Rayner has seen him move in a while, Bertolt scrambles to place himself in front of Rayner. I'll do it. If you need experiments or interrogation, I'll do it. Don't...
Hey, Hanji interrupts. Hey, there's nothing like that just yet.
The phrasing isn't lost on him, or on Bertolt, but Bertolt relaxes and Rayner feels twisted up when he thinks of how Bertolt moved to shield him. It used to be him that did the protecting. He had armor for a reason. Okay, Bertolt says, swallows thickly. What is it? Hanji doesn't answer, nods neatly instead, and then scrambles back up the stairs.
Aaron! Aaron, what? No, don't do that! That's not for eating. Come here!
Rayner hears the stamp of their foot.
Aaron! Come here! Don't make me come and get you, young creature!
He hears animalistic snorting, a familiar sort of grunting, and Rayner feels disbelief rise heady in him, sees what he feels reflected on Bertolt's face. Then Aaron scrambles clumsily down the stairs. Only it isn't Aaron, but it is Aaron from before, from when they were family. And Rayner feels a sob rip itself from his mouth. In front of him, Bertolt has frozen up completely. Aaron stares at them for a moment, grunting in recognition. And then Aaron wails, loping forward and grasping prison bars, yanking them from stone with a harsh crack. Armin tries to slit his wrist with a sharpened spoon on the third day. The first and second, Levi fully fucking realizes, was probably spent sharpening the damn thing. He doesn't die, because the medics they have at HQ are goddamn miracle workers and also used to working on Titan wounds, but it's a close thing, and Levi grumbles as he shoves his way into the room Armin's kept in, flipping off the guards who try to stop him. Does he need blood? He asks, because Levi's blessed and cursed with the kind of blood that can go into anyone. He doesn't understand it, despite how many times Erwin has explained it to him, but he doesn't need to understand it to know that it works. The medic on duty stops, looks at Armin with thin lips, and even Levi can tell that the answer is yes, with how waxy the kid's skin is. He'd probably survive without it, the medic says ungenerously, and Levi grits his teeth. Does he need blood? Clenching her jaw, the medic tosses her hair over her shoulder. No need to waste your blood on a traitor, sir. Levi punches her. Then he repeats the question. Minutes later, he is sitting on a chair by Armin's bedside, sleeve rolled up and a clear tube connecting his arm to Armin's. The boy is muttering restlessly in his sleep, whispers pitching up into hysteria every so often, until Levi shushes him awkwardly, pats the kid's hand in a way he can vaguely remember his mother doing for him before she died. It speaks of a certain insidious kind of mental image, Armin's frenetic mutterings, and Levi clenches his jaw as he thinks on how much he failed the kid as his commanding officer. It's Levi's job to goddamn notice trauma in his people, and he usually does a pretty good fucking job. Levi's nose twitches. He looks at Armin. Usually. I thought you'd moved beyond assaulting medics, Erwin says from the doorway, walks to stand at Levi's shoulder and puts the warm, comforting weight of his hand upon it. Levi shudders, eyes closing as he tips his head back. Erwin moves so that his head is propped up by the commander's stomach. Guess not, he replies, turns his face to press a kiss to the commander's knuckles. God, we fucked up. Erwin laughs, a bitter laugh, looking down at the child he wanted to mentor. That we did. His neck still bears a cut from where the Ackerman girl almost slit his throat open. The 104th and their loyalty, Levi thinks, is absolutely fucking terrifying. He'd always had the feeling that kids with knives, twitchy trauma survivor kids at that, would be. He was, anyway. Levi asks the question they've been avoiding for days. What the ever-loving fuck are we gonna do, Erwin? Erwin sighs heavily, and Levi has never heard him so damn tired before. I don't know, Levi. Levi knows how much it costs him to say those words. Huffing in a breath, Armin shakes in his sleep, starting the medicine-sticky process of waking up. Get the fuck out, he tells Erwin unsympathetically, and Erwin nods, ducking to brush his lips against Levi's before he leaves. Armin's eyelids flutter, and Levi yanks the needle from his arm, making the brat jerk up, surging against the restraints at his wrists and ankles. He releases a shout, and Levi hears the guards physically restraining Ackerman outside. It sounds like she's putting up a hell of a fight. Aaron isn't hurt, he informs Armin, because he knows where the kid's priorities lie. In seconds, Armin forces himself back into his head, biting back his screams and rolling his shoulders, wiping his expression blank for a bare heartbeat before it becomes vulnerable, pitiable. Aaron's okay? Armin asks slowly, not making eye contact and the tone making it a submissive plea, quiet and vulnerable. Fucking fake. And Levi smiles, thinking he had his eyes on the wrong brat at Trost. Yeah, he says, plays along because unlike Erwin, who is a good man who is unable to make himself not a man, but who is a good man nonetheless, he feels the tug of like to like with this one, doesn't believe it like the rest of them. Armin's a little monstrous, just like him. He's fine. Wanna see him? It's a manipulative offer, and the light behind Armin's eyes shift as he recognizes this. His mouth purses as he parses through what he would gain by keeping the act or by calling Levi out. After a moment, he enunciates carefully. Yes, please, sir. Levi feels himself grin, sharp-edged. Good. Answer a few questions first. Armin shuts down so quickly it's like a candle, Levi's blown out, expression stiffening into neutrality and his eyes going flat, unreadable. God, if humanity had the brat's loyalty instead of Aaron, they'd be set to win the war, Levi thinks ruefully. But the survival of the species isn't this kid's priority. Did Aaron eat human flesh? Levi asks. Armin remains dead-eyed and unresponsive, though he begins to tug at his wrists in what seems to be the first subconscious move Levi's seen from him since he'd woken up. Fuck, kid. You aren't going to believe this, but I want to help Aaron, too. Armin has to have seen the soft spot Levi has for Aaron. Everyone can see the soft spot for Aaron. Aro can see it, and Aro is dead. Aro is dead. Abruptly, Levi understands Armin's self-sacrificing, all-consuming urge to protect Aaron better. He'd slit his wrists in a second if he'd bring that clumsy asshole back. Off the record, Levi says, with a sinking darkness opening up in his chest. Because he always seems to break fucking orders, always seems to find himself in a position where it's betray himself or betray someone he goddamn cares about, and Levi fucking refuses to betray himself. Not for anyone. Not even for Erwin. Off the record, I swear on my mother's corpse, did Aaron eat Willem's squad? And there must be something in his voice that alerts Armin to his honesty. Like calls to like, Levi thinks viciously. Because Armin's chin begins to tremble. His eyes, wide and fixed blindly on the ceiling, begin to water. Tears trickling down his face with no reaction on Armin's part. Levi waits. Armin takes in a thin, wavering breath and mutters something so quiet Levi can't hear it. What? He fed me Jodin's heart. Armin croons, sounding like he's reaching deep into himself for the words, ripping them out and handing them messily to Levi, like Levi has any goddamn clue what to do with them. It takes a couple of seconds for the full meaning behind those words to hit Levi. Shit, he breathes, as his mind tick, tick, ticks over them, stubbornly refuses to process something so horrifying. Oh shit, Arlert. He can't think of anything else to say. A wide, cavernous fear for the boy before him opening up in Levi's gut. Armin sucks in a breath, and another, fighting back the sobs Levi can see shaking his shoulders. Levi reaches out and holds Armin's hand, squeezing it, and this is what breaks the kid. Armin hunches in on himself as best he can as he howls, sobs tearing violent from his chest, and he sounds inhuman, almost, in his ragged screams. Ackerman bursts into the room wildly, hair mussed and a bruise darkening her cheekbone. Armin, she whispers, crawls onto the bed beside him, and this makes Armin shake more, cry louder. Armin, Mikasa repeats, curls her arms around him and nuzzles the side of his face. She begins to hum him a lullaby, and it feels almost private enough that Levi thinks of leaving. But when he tries, Armin's hand clamps down on his, tight enough to cut off circulation to his fingers. The boy's bright blue eyes lock onto Levi's, a wordless, unformed plea there. Levi stays. When Armin has fallen into silence, when Mikasa is dozing lightly beside him, Armin focuses on Levi. I want to see Aaron, he says, and there is an ache threading through his words. Motherfucker, Levi thinks about refusing on principle, like how he refused to grant one of his people time off so they could visit their abusive girlfriend. He's not entirely sure how different the situation is anymore. I want to see Aaron, Armin repeats, and his voice is just hitched enough that Mikasa is conscious and alert in seconds, rising protectively over Armin. Fuck, Levi states, and Armin's expression darkens. You said? I know what I fucking said, Levi snaps. The little trust Armin has of him is fragile, and Levi... God, Levi needs to preserve it, he thinks, if he's going to help this kid at all. Fuck. Fine. Fuck. He undoes Armin's restraints, pinching the bridge of his nose. Hanji brought him down to Rainer and Bertolt. Armin freezes, eyes flashing viciously. Why? Because maybe they know what the fuck is going on with him. Levi bites, helping Armin up despite the glare Mikasa sends him. Motherfucker, I hope I don't regret this. He pushes the door open, looks over his shoulder to where Mikasa is wrapping her arm around Armin's waist. Let's go, you shits.
The end.
We've got no reason to speak. Come the sun, when it's done. We've no reason to speak.
If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening.